This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. It is my great pleasure to welcome to the program former U.S. Senator from Pennsylvania and 2012 presidential candidate, the Honorable Rick Santorum. In addition to being a husband, a father of seven children, and a former member of the United States Senate, Senator Santorum is a champion when it comes to promoting and defending the sanctity of human life, religious liberty, and the freedoms we enjoy as citizens of the greatest nation on the planet. He is co-founder and co-chair of Patriot Voices, a grassroots and online community of Americans who are working together to effect positive change in our culture. Senator Santorum recently released a brand new book, which he co-authored with his wife Karen, entitled Bella's Gift: How One Little Girl Transformed Our Family and Inspired a Nation. And we will be talking with Senator Santorum about that book today. But before we begin, I want to take a quick moment to mention how excited we are to have Senator Santorum as the keynote speaker at the North Carolina Family Policy Council's upcoming Major Speakers Dinner in Raleigh the evening of Thursday, March 26. You can learn more about this dinner event on our website at ncfamily.org. Again, that's ncfamily.org. And with that introduction, Senator Santorum, it is a great honor to speak with you today. Thanks so much for being with us on Family Policy Matters.
Well, thank you very much, John. I appreciate it, and thank you for all the great work you do down there. It was a pleasure working with you folks during the last election to elect a strong, great United States Senator down there.
Well, we appreciate just your leadership role in our country and just how outspoken you are, as I said, in promoting the sanctity of human life, religious liberty, and just the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. As we begin, Senator Santorum, tell us about your precious six-year-old daughter, Bella, and talk, if you would, a little bit about what inspired you and your wife, Karen, to write the book that you did about Bella.
Well, you know, Bella was a surprise. I mean, she was a little girl who was born at the time. Our youngest was 7 years old. We had six children at the time, and we were blessed and surprised that we expected another child. And then late pregnancy, they started to say, well, there might be something wrong. And of course, what they do is they always do. They say, well, you know, you can have an abortion. And now they all know who I am, and they say, well, we just have to tell you that. You know, we just have to cover our tracks. And I said, well, you know, my response was, of course, well, why? And we knew she was it was a girl at that point. If my daughter was in trouble, why would killing her help? And you know, just as someone who you always say you don't know until you live through something. Well, you having lived through that, and you just sort of scratch your head and you say, why is it that when you know children who are 10 years old have a problem, we do everything we can to save them, but if a little child in the womb does, you know, the immediate thing is, well, you can get rid of this child. And we welcomed Bella into our arms, and she was a little thing, just 3 pounds, and she was in an intensive care unit, and then 4 days afterwards they came back to us with genetic results. They told us she was going to die. She had a disorder called trisomy 18, which was, quote, incompatible with life, and they told us to prepare for death. And we you know, did everything we could and huddling around her and praying with her. And, you know, she didn't die. She actually was doing very well. So we took her home on hospice care. And we just decided not to wait for her to die, but to celebrate her life and to do whatever we could to welcome her into our family, appreciate every moment we had with her. And here we are at 6.5 years.
What a beautiful, beautiful story and a great testament to your stand for life and Karen's as well. In the book, you describe, and I really appreciate your transparency and vulnerability in doing so, but you describe how during the first several months of Bella's life, you didn't really feel like you were loving her the way that you should. Talk about that, if you would, and what changed your perspective in how you viewed and responded to her?
There were really two things going on at the time, John. One was a little bit of history. I mentioned we had six children. We actually had a seventh child before Bella, and his name was Gabriel. And a similar situation where he was diagnosed in the womb as having a condition that was, quote, incompatible with life. And so we did everything we could to save him, but he was born prematurely, and he did die. And it was gut-wrenching. It was, you know, the worst thing that ever had happened to me. And it was a very, very tough slog for both Karen and me to pull ourselves out of having a child born and live just a few hours and then have to say goodbye and you know, while you're holding your son in your arms. And that here I thought I was, you know, I hit the replay button. And part of it was I didn't want to walk down that path that I had walked down and you know, feeling that pain and that hurt, you know, from the love that you had for that child. And so part of me was, you know, saying, okay, hold back a little bit here. It won't hurt so much. And then another part was how I healed from that. And the way I healed from Gabriel was really to put my life in Gabriel taught me one of the greatest lessons of my life, that you have to think of things not just from the standpoint of what's going on here on earth, but, you know, from the eternal perspective. And it was a comfort to me knowing that, you know, my son was in heaven and that he was with the Lord, and that ultimately that's what every father wants for every one of his children. And, you know, our life here, no matter whether it's 2 hours or 100 years, is but a blip in the span of time. And so what matters the most is eternity. And so I started to think just in terms of, well, you know, okay, I'm okay if she dies, because I know she's going to be okay. I know she's going to be with the Lord. And what I found was that holding back that love was not going to help me hurt any less. And that while we do think in terms of eternal, we're still human, and we have to live in the world. We can't remove ourselves from that world. It's not healthy to do so. You have to live as Christ lived, you know, with fully God, fully human. We have to live fully human and as well as keeping our eye on eternity.
Well, I tell you, personally, I can relate to that. My wife and I have two precious children, and between the birth of our daughter and our son, she had 3 miscarriages, and so we experienced the loss of 3 children that we look forward to meeting someday in heaven. And I know that a lot of our listeners have gone through similar circumstances, and I think the message that you and Karen have so graciously provided with the story in the book Bella's Gift is such an important thing that so many of our listeners, I think, would be able to relate to. Well, one of the many stories that I love in the book, Karen talks about the day that Bella was released from the hospital, when a doctor went through the laundry list of risks associated with children who have trisomy 18, Bella's condition. And then, as it says in the book, he leaned forward and told you that despite all of that, there was still hope, and that Bella would very much write her own story. How important was that moment for you and for Karen in terms of giving you a vision and a hope for Bella's future?
That's really one of the most important things we learned, is what kept Bella alive. Yes, good medical care and all the things that we tried to provide her on, caring for her, but loving her and committing to her and being hopeful and optimistic with this little girl. I mean, even though she's impaired, she knows. I mean, I can tell you, and when I walk in and see her and I light up with a smile, boy, she responds right away. And when I'm, you know, not feeling so good or feeling a little down, she's just looking, what's wrong? It's the most basic of human emotions to feed off somebody. And when you have hope and you're committed in love, you're just injecting into our daughter the exact medicine she needed to help fight and story on.
Well, Senator Santorum, what do you and Karen hope that readers will take away from Bella's story, particularly other parents who have special needs children?
Well, I would say, number one, like I said earlier, you have to attend to your marriage. We've heard numbers as high as 80-some% of marriages when you have a severely disabled child end at divorce. You have to care for your marriage, because if your marriage isn't strong, then all the other things that are going on are gonna be much, much, much harder. And that doesn't mean that it's easy. And it's a very raw book. We don't sugarcoat it. We let folks see probably more. I've had a lot of people say, I can't believe you let people hear, you know, tell people the things that went on in your family. But we really wanted to be real. We wanted it to be authentic, so people could actually see that it's not easy. And it's, you look at these folks, this guy's running for president, he's been a senator, everything's going great. No, it's not great. It's not easy. It's hard. But it's worth it. And that's really the key. It is hard, but it is worth it. It is a cross, but it is a blessing, and it is a gift. And so we wanted to write a book to encourage people to fight for their children and fight for their people who are in the medical system, when particularly if they have severe cognitive or physical disabilities, and many will just write them off as not useful or not a life worth living. We heard that over again. Oh, well, she won't have a life worth living. That's just, Bella has an amazing life, and it makes ours much more worth living.
Well, Bella's gift does make a powerful, powerful statement about the sanctity and value of every human life. Senator, I'd like to switch gears for just a moment before we conclude, and thank you so much for sharing about the book. I know our listeners are going to be very interested in getting a copy of that, but I wanted to talk with you just very briefly about what has inspired you to serve in public office. Of course, you served two terms as a U.S. Senator from 1995 to 2007. You served in the state legislature before that, and you also, of course, ran for president in 2012. You are now involved in a national grassroots effort through Patriot Voices, and you're known for your tireless grassroots campaign style. In fact, I can testify personally to that, as you and I had an opportunity to do some door-to-door canvassing together in North Carolina the day before the 2014 general election. And I'll have to admit, as energized as I was by that whole experience, I had a tough time keeping up with you. What has inspired you to serve in public office, and what motivates you to continue to do so, even seeking the highest office in our land, President of the United States?
Well, I'm very blessed to have been raised in a family of immigrants. My dad was an immigrant to this country, and he reminded me on more than one occasion the privilege it is to be an American. And the more that I grew up and saw how special America was, and I just felt like I had to be a part of making sure that this great country was going to continue on for future generations, that I was the first generation of American. And, you know, I sort of felt like a little special responsibility to make this country even stronger. And as I'll be honest, as I've grown and seen this country change, it puts a little hop in my step to know that things are not going the way they should be going with our culture. The opportunities for people economically are not what they used to be. You look at where America is, and it's whether it's on an ascendancy or descend, or it's descending. And you know, that's a question mark right now. And I personally just can't stomach the idea that on my watch, America would not continue to be on the rise, that America would not continue to be that shining city on the hill. And so I guess God motivates us to do certain things and calls us to do certain things. And he's just always put that on my heart that this was a big responsibility for me. This was something that I felt personally responsible to do something about, and have worked very hard throughout my life to try to make a difference.
Well, thank you for doing what you do. Well, Senator Santorum, unfortunately, we're nearly out of time for this week. Please tell our listeners where they can go to learn more about and get a copy of Bella's Gift.
You can go to bellasgiftbook.com. You can also just go to any of your local bookstores or Amazon and get it there. And I encourage you that this is a great book for healing. It's a great book for marriage. It's a great book to understand the love that we need to share. What will transform this country? And again, I remind you that if you have a doctor, a pediatrician, or a obstetrician, or somebody who cares for children, after you've read the book, please share that copy of the book with them.
Well, Senator Rick Santorum, thank you so much for being with us on Family Policy Matters and for sharing the story of your amazing daughter, Bella. And please pass our regards along to Bella and to your wife, Karen, and your family. We're so grateful for you and the leadership that you take in our nation. And again, just so much appreciate your time with us on Family Policy Matters.
Thank you, John. Looking forward to coming back to North Carolina.
Wonderful. Well, we look forward to seeing you too. And before we conclude, I just want to mention one more time that Senator Santorum is speaking at the North Carolina Family Policy Council's Major Speakers Dinner in Raleigh on March the 26th. If you'd like to learn more about this exciting event and attend, please visit our website at ncfamily.org. Again, that's ncfamily.org. Or you can contact our office by phone at 919-807-0800. Again, that's 919-807-0800.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800. or visit our website at ncfamily.org.